morning, church. Now, before we go into God's word, I want to do something again. Strange, because Linroy didn't know this. I want us to pray. And the reason I want us to pray is because I know that there are a lot of people right now who are sick. And we have been declaring this morning through our praise and worship that our God is able. We have declared that Christ is enough. Okay? Now, we either believe that or we better stop singing it. I personally believe it, and I know that you do too. And I believe that Christ and his work is sufficient. It is so far-reaching into the whole of our being that whatever we experience in terms of sickness or illness, or indeed whether we're experiencing trials and challenges and difficulties, Christ is enough. And I believe the Bible when it says that by the stripes that Jesus bore, we were healed. And so we're going to pray for people that are sick. And we're going to believe that as we pray, God's power touches their bodies and heals them. So if you agree, then you join in with this prayer. Hallelujah. Father God, we do believe that you are able, and we do believe that Jesus Christ is enough. We do believe that when Jesus died on that cross, it was not just to deliver us from our sins, but it was to set us free from the very power of sin and the very consequences of sin. And Father, before sin came into this world, before Adam and Eve disobeyed you, there was no sickness because there was no death. And so, Father, we believe that through Jesus Christ, you restore, you return to the original and intended condition, the life of those who will believe your word. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we speak in faith in you, believing that those who are sick, our brothers and sisters, our family members, young and old, that right now you bring healing to their bodies, that you bring absolute healing, and you deliver every person from sickness and disease, from injury, from everything that comes against your perfect will. And we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe that prayer, say amen. 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 Praise God. And as we start this morning's message, as we think about life-giving relationships, I want to say this. You may be experiencing right now a relationship or some relationships that you would say are far less than life-giving. In fact, you may feel that the relationship that you're thinking of or you're experiencing right now is the reverse of that. It is a source of death. It's a source of pain. It's a source of agony. It's a source of torment. And it isn't life-giving. My friends, please believe this. Please listen to this. Our God is able to change every circumstance. And he is able to turn that which is dead into that which is living. He's able to take that which is sick and make it whole. He is able to take that which is saturated in darkness and cause his powerful light to transform it. He is able to take that which is lost and give it purpose and meaning to life. My friends, he is able, if we will submit to his will and his word, he is able to change the most damaging, destroying relationship into one that is life-giving. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will help us to believe this. In the same way that sometimes we become deceived in our thinking because people who supposedly know more than we do tell us that we have a sickness for which there is no cure. We believe it. They must know because they are the experts. And sometimes we can be in a relationship where we can feel, we can believe that there will never be healing in that relationship because it has gone too far. There is no way that it can come back. But my friend, God is able if we will believe. In fact, this is what Jesus said. He said, nothing will be impossible if you will just believe. Now that's where it starts. And if you have ever come through a difficult relationship experience, you will know that it takes more than just believing. But unless you believe, you won't be able to put action into seeing that relationship healed and restored and made anew. My friends, please hear this. God is able. And you may be here this morning, or you may be listening to this recording, and you may be right on the verge of your marriage relationship ending in divorce. You may even have gone through divorce, and you may think that's it, that's over, it's finished, it's dead. Jesus said, can I stand on the chair? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Do we believe that? Or do we become convinced that there is no healing, that there cannot be reconciliation, that God cannot work a miracle in our lives? I believe in a God of miracles. I believe that no matter how bad it looks, no matter how destructive it feels, no matter how hopeless it may look, God is able to take that which is dead and breathe his life into it. Isn't that, my friend, what a Christian is? Someone who is dead in sin. Not just bad or naughty or mischievous or wicked, but dead in sin. That's what the Bible says. We were dead in sin. We were dead in sin. Absolutely 100% unquestionably dead in sin. And what did Jesus do? What did he give us? Life. He didn't just come with a box full of band-aids and a box full of bandages and ointment and say, let me make you feel better about yourself. No way. He took that which caused us to be dead, which was our sin. And he became sin. And he took that sin into death, and then he was raised from death into newness of life. And he said, now that's the life I'm giving you, eternal life. And if God can do that through Jesus, in terms of our spiritual salvation, who are we to say that God cannot save a relationship that seems to be dead, that seems to be lifeless, that seems to be hopeless? Have you ever seen that animated movie, All Dogs Go to Heaven? I don't believe it, by the way. I don't believe it. I'm rather hoping that there's no dogs in heaven. I'm sorry if you're a dog lover. I don't dislike them. I could spend eternity without a dog. I'm okay. Okay, we're still friends? Yeah. I hope so. There's a little song on there, and I think it's someone who's singing in a French accent. He says, "Never say never." I'm not going to sing it. You see, we are so easily influenced by what we see. And yet the Bible says this: our lives are not made up of what we see and what we touch and what we feel. Our lives consist of the life that is ours in Jesus Christ. And the things that are temporal, the things of this earth and this human life, listen, those are subject to change. Did you catch that? Those are subject to change. And so as we go into this message this morning concerning life-giving relationships, this is my plea with you. Please do not think that there is a relationship that you have which is damaging, hurtful. Don't think that it is beyond God. Don't believe the lie that God cannot heal it and restore it, because God is able. This is our verse that we have referred to through this sermon series. It's taken from Philippians, the first chapter and verse 11. May you abound in. I love the word abound. Jesus came and gave us abundant, abounding life, limitless, over the top, more than enough. May you abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing. How do we experience that? How can we abound in and be filled with fruits of righteousness? He tells us the answer, which come through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. My friends, let's just cover this one more time. The only way that you and I can ever experience rightness with God and the fruits in our life of that right standing with God is because of Jesus Christ. It will not happen. It cannot happen simply because we try to be better, simply because we put more effort in, simply because we depend on us becoming changed people. None of those things can ever cause our hearts and our lives to experience fruits of righteousness, because they are all dependent on works of the flesh. There is nothing that we can produce or see produced in our lives that is of any eternal value when we try to do it independent of God. It will only ever produce something temporal. And my dear Lord Jesus Christ, there are so many people, and I'm sure this breaks the heart of our Father God, so many people sitting in places of worship, and they have been deceived into believing that as Christians, their role in life, their purpose, their duty is to become better people. And they are trying to improve themselves. They're trying to better themselves. They're trying to get rid of bad habits. They're trying to adopt good habits. They're trying to be nice. They're trying to be kind. And it's hard work. Because the flesh can never produce anything of any eternal value. It can never produce fruits of righteousness. My friends, only Christ living in us and Christ living through us can do that. We are not called to live a life where we constantly try to die to self. Kind of committing suicide. We're not called to do that. We are called to live for Jesus Christ. We are called to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to allow Him to live His life through us. Why? Because it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me, in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I want to read a verse or two together from John chapter 4. We're going to talk about life-giving, eternal life. In John chapter 4, we read a beautiful story. Please read it this evening when you get home. Jesus meets up with a lady who culturally he should never even talk to. And she is at a well. And she's drawing water from this deep well. And Jesus walks up to her on his own. His disciples have gone into the city. There was a city there or a town called Sychar. And his disciples have gone into the town. And Jesus says to this woman, "Please, could you draw me a drink?" And they begin to get into a conversation. And Jesus begins to show to this precious lady who he is. And he said, "If you knew who I was, you would ask of me and I would give you the gift of eternal life." And they began to talk about the water, and he says, and he told her that there was water that he had to give to her that was so different to the water that she was drawing from the well. Because as he pointed out, you will draw this water out today, you will drink of it, and you'll have to come again another day. But listen to what Jesus said concerning the water that he was giving. "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life." What was this living water that Jesus was talking about? It was eternal life. You know, our world today spends so much time and so much money and so much energy not on feeding the starving people, not on finding those people in our world, and they're not that difficult to find, who barely have enough food and clean water to stay alive. But this, our world spends so much time trying to discover the secret of eternal youth. We have surgeries. We have creams. We have oils. We have treatments. We have all sorts of things that cost a mega amount of money. And we're trying to make these temporal bodies look young for as long as possible. It's a lost cause. I'm not saying, you know, girls, don't use makeup. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, guys, don't use makeup. No. I got to be careful. What I'm saying is, let us not make the pursuit of our life about something which is so temporal. The Bible talks about the whole of our life like a vapor, like grass that grows in a field, and here it is today, and tomorrow it's gone. And yet we just invest so much in the physical. When Jesus is offering to us, and actually when we have become followers of him, he has given us eternal life. Now, here's the beautiful thing about eternal life. You know, you pay your dollars, your won, your yen, or whatever it is, your rand, your pounds. I'll stop there. And you go have your surgery. You have your nips and your tucks and your facelifts and everything else to make yourself look a little bit younger and a little bit better. Who is it all about? I. And that is what the pursuit, the natural human pursuit of life is all about, me. It's about the enjoyment I want. It's about how I want to live my life. It's about how I want to spend my money, my time. It's about how I would like to look. It's about what I would like to have around me to make me comfortable. It's all about me. And sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that the eternal life that Jesus gives to us is also all about me. But because it's eternal, because it is of God, it is God himself, it cannot be all about me. Yes, we are born again. Hallelujah. Yes, our sin is forgiven. Yes, we are made right with God through Christ Jesus. Yes, we are inheritors of everything that Christ has become ours. Amen. Praise God. But don't stop there, please. Because Jesus said, the water that I have to give you will become like a fountain of living water springing up in you into eternal life. You know something about a fountain? You can't contain it. It just keeps coming. And it just keeps coming. And if we try to contain eternal life and we simply seek to benefit from it for ourselves, not only have we completely missed the mark, the intention that God has as he gives us eternal life, but we lose out on some of the beautiful characteristics of that life. That characteristic that it isn't just for me, but it's going to well up in me like a fountain, and it's going to flow out, and it's going to impact the world around me. It's going to impact the relationships that I'm in. I wonder what you think about when you think about friendships. Do you think about what you can get out of it? Do you think what you can give into it? How about thinking this way? Jesus, what do you want to do in and through this relationship? Begin to think about some of the friendships, the relationships with your children, with your parents, with your work colleagues, with other family members. Think about how different they would be if this heavenly, this eternal life was constantly bubbling and overflowing. So that the interaction that you have with these people is not out of your soul, out of your thinking and your feelings, but it is the life flow of the very life of God. Think about it in your marriage. Wow. You know, this is what Pastor Joe, my wife and I, this is what we hunger for. We are very conscious of our shortcomings and our weaknesses. We are so aware of how limited in our own abilities we are to be able to even just love each other. But we have also become conscious and very, very aware of the life flow of heaven that will come through us towards one another if we will let Jesus live his life in us and through us. And then life and relationships, they don't all become about you should love your husband better than that. You should be a better husband than that. You should be better children. You should be better parents. That's all control and manipulation. And God has nothing to do with that. What God does is this. He says, listen, I know because I made you that you can't do it. You can't love one another naturally, humanly. Because you have sinful hearts, naturally you hurt each other. So, when you receive my eternal life, then you have dwelling within you the ability to love one another, to forgive one another, to care for one another, to watch out for one another, to esteem one another with the same love that I love you. My friends, this is how we have life-giving relationships. If you want to go to a seminar to learn how to be a better husband, a better wife, then take this with you. Christ in me. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives his life in and through me. Jesus said, the water that I will give you will be like fountains of living water. This is my paraphrase. So that in your relationships, instead of hurting each other and damaging one another, instead of pushing each other away, instead of wishing that you didn't have to even see that person again, you can experience that beautiful life flow as God, as Jesus lives his life through you. You say, I don't know if I have this. Well, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, then yes, you do. That is the life that God has given to us. And sometimes we just have to hear it, hear it, hear it, until the Holy Spirit is allowed by us to convince us that what God says is true. And you may say, well, I have this, I believe this. But what happens if the other person doesn't? What happens if the other person doesn't really care about the relationship? What happens if the other person is just so selfish and so self-centered? What if they are determined even to hurt me, or it seems like they are? Good question. Solution? Same answer. You see, let's look at the life of Jesus. There were people who were hell-bent, we might say, on destroying his life. They hated him. His perfect life exposed their life of hypocrisy. They hated him. They wanted him dead. They tried to murder him. What did Jesus do? Did he avoid them? Was he mean back? Did he expose them? No. He didn't need to. Because his sense of being loved, and his sense of being accepted, and his sense of worth, and his sense of security, all things which all of us have been created with as needs, all of those things were not dependent upon what other people thought or said about him or did to him. Because his life flow was from his Father. So, are you saying then that regardless of what people do to me, I just have to be nice and stand there and take it? I would say if you're in an abusive situation, if somebody is physically seeking to hurt you, no, don't stay there. Don't put yourself in that place where your life is possibly at risk. But don't give up. But believe God. But let his life sustain and complete and satisfy and fulfill you, so that the response that you give to the person that's hurting you is a life-giving one. And we say, oh, my pastor, that's hard. That's hard. It is hard when we depend on our own ability. Yes, it is. It is hard when we follow our own thinking, our own feelings. It's not fair. They shouldn't talk to me like that. They should not treat me like that. I'm worth more than that kind of treatment. They should respect me. And when we allow those feelings and those thoughts to dominate in our heart, yes, it does become hard. It does become hard. But if we will hunger after and allow the life of Christ, that eternal life, to constantly fill and flood our hearts, then what will come out of our mouth will be the very words of life, the very words of Jesus. Because the Bible says this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when Christ's life sustains us, when he is enough, as we sang, young men, when Christ is enough, not Christ plus lots of people who like me, not Christ plus a great profession or career, not Christ plus a really bumper full bank account, not Christ plus anything, Christ period. When he is enough, then he's enough. Regardless of what our life circumstances are. Whether somebody has just paid us the most amazing compliment. A year ago, I with my friend Chris Pearson, who's part of this church now from England, we were together in the gym. And my friend Chris Pearson is about 2 years younger than me. And so we've been exercising a bit. And there's a lady, a Korean lady there, who my wife and I had begun to talk to a little bit, just to build a relationship. And so she finished her exercises and she came and talked to us and says, "It's wonderful to see you doing exercise together." And she looked at Chris and said to me, "Is this your son?" That was not the best compliment I've ever had. But it's amazing how sometimes those things can touch you. If your focus is all about this natural world, and it doesn't have to be about how old you look or how young you look. Someone may say something mean about your children. Someone may say something mean about your spouse. And if that's where we're looking for the source of our life and our sense of fulfillment, if that's what makes us, then yes, it does get hard. But when Christ is enough, then whether someone has been nice to us or mean doesn't change the fact that Jesus Christ is still enough. Whatever someone says or does to me doesn't have to be soul destroying. Now, of course, the closer you are to a person, the more potential it has to hurt. And we're talking about life-giving relationships. So we're not just talking about how we respond to somebody who's mean to us. No, my friends, what we need to realize is this, that Jesus was proactive in his life-giving. He didn't have in his mind, "I can be however I like to anybody." No, that's not life-giving. Just thinking that we can say what we want and do what we want and treat a person however we want to is just selfish. And guess who's at the middle of that life? Self. The Bible says, as much as is possible, live at peace with all people. That's a proactive instruction. And so we're not just equipped, listen, we're not just equipped to be able to respond in a life-giving way when nothing but death and hell and hate and anger and jealousy is thrown at us. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, when someone is angry with you, respond with a soft word. It will disarm. It diffuses. It takes the fuel out of that explosive situation. And my friend, it works. I remember very clearly one time a person got very, very angry with me. Very angry, aggressively so, violently so. And I was just saying in my heart, "Holy Spirit, help me to have a soft answer, a loving answer, a life-giving answer. And he did, praise God, because my feelings were all over the place. And he helped me to have a life-giving answer. And this person initially got even more angry. Really angry. And I was sitting down, and they were a big person. And they had a big fist. And they were like this. And they said to me, "Why don't you just get angry back?" I said, "I don't need to. There's nothing to get angry about." And then this incredible hulk of a person who was so inflated with anger and venom against me just deflated. It was like watching the air come out of a balloon. And within a few moments, he was sitting beside me and I had my arm around him. And he was weeping like a baby and the Holy Spirit was ministering to him. Healing. You see, this life-giving relationship that we're talking about is not just a self-defense mechanism. It's not a spiritual form of taekwondo where you defend yourself. You got nothing to defend because you're dead. And the life that you now live, you live, which is Christ living through you, by faith in the Son of God who loved you and died for you. And sometimes, in order for God to be able to minister to broken hearts, as well as being proactive in our life-giving relationships, and we're going to be talking about some of these things next week. We were supposed to get there this week, but we didn't. Next week, we're going to talk about some of the practical ways in different areas of life, family and work, etc. But sometimes, not only are we does God need us to be proactive in how we love and how we express kindness and gentleness and patience? But in order to minister to a heart that's broken with hurt and sin and pain, God needs us to be that channel so that that relationship can be a life-giving one, so that that person can know and experience and see and have for themselves the love of God. That they can be set free from the pain and the hurt and the anger and the bitterness that's inside their hearts. And God, through the life of Jesus Christ, can come in and cleanse that heart from all unrighteousness. Life-giving relationships. Let's pray. Father God, it can be so easy for us to look at our life, the world that we live in, and simply be taken up with the enormity of the effects of sin. Father God, broken lives, broken homes, broken relationships. Relationships that seem to just produce poison and pain. And it's sometimes so easy, Lord, for us to think there is no hope. This cannot change. Sin has taken too strong a grip. But God, impress in our hearts, I pray right now, that there is hope in God. There is an answer. God is able to save to the uttermost those that come to him. God, you are able to redeem broken relationships. You are able to turn them so that instead of being destructive, they are life-giving. Father, that work is a work of you in our hearts. As we were in prayer this morning, if you know that God needs to do, or you need God to do that work in your heart, you need for God to speak his words of life and healing and truth into your heart because you have believed lies. Some of you may even believe that you can never enter into a life-giving relationship because you are always the problem. In Jesus' name, may the Holy Spirit set you free from that lie. Some of us may keep ourselves from relationships because we have been hurt and we protect ourselves. I pray that in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit will fill your hearts with faith in God, that he is the one that watches out for you. And that in him, you are always loved. In Christ, you are always accepted. Your worth to him is unquestionable. Not because you're so valuable, but because he is so loving. And therefore you have that beautiful security. Whatever it is that God, you need God to do in your heart in terms of relationships, let him do it right now. Let's just raise the volume of the music just a little bit, please. Let's take a moment to let the Holy Spirit minister into our hearts. Let him bring healing. I believe that right now the Holy Spirit is putting hope into some hearts. Hope for those relationships that have just seemed so hopeless. God is taking his word and he is planting it into your heart that you have hope in God. Hope in God. I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to some of us of how we have gone into relationships with so much selfishness. It's been all about me. It's been about what I get out of it. And if I don't get anything out of it, then I'm getting out. Holy Spirit, come and heal us from that self-centered approach. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please have your conversations with God right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that the life you give us and the life that you live in us and through us is your very own eternal life. And that you are that life. Be at the very center, Lord God. Jesus Christ, be at the very center of our relationships for your glory. Let's just stay in prayer a moment. As we do this pretty much every Sunday at the end of our service, we want to talk for a moment to anyone that has never given their life to Jesus. You don't know God personally. You still know you have that sin in your heart that that has separated you from God. My friend, that can change right now. Seriously, I'm telling you the truth. That situation can change right now if you will bow your knee, surrender your life, and give it to God. Give it all to Him. And receive forgiveness from God. Pray something like this. Say, God, thank you for loving me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for giving Jesus, your Son, to die and to be punished and to become my sin, so that my sin can be taken away and removed. God, I repent of that sin. I receive your forgiveness, and I believe that it is complete and total. I receive the gift of eternal life from you, your life, as you give me also your Holy Spirit, who will always be with me, who will never leave me. Thank you. I call you my Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name. Amen.